Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our message series called All Things New, as we are living in this new life, this new year, Jesus has been brought back to new life. He's creating this place for all things to become new through him. And what does that mean? What does that look like? Why would we even need all things new, especially as we think about our lives? Maybe things are going pretty good. There's a lot of things in our life we just like. The sun is shining now, the temperature's the right temperature, it's not raining too much, things like that, right? And we think about our life, like new jobs and new families, and things are going just fine. Why would we want to have all things new? Well, there's a problem that the Bible is trying to address and has tried to address for a long time. There's something at the very core of you and me that needs to be made new. It's the place where we have our thoughts. It's the place where we have our emotions. It's this place that our desires are fostered, and it's ultimately the place where we make decisions and choices. Now, the Bible talks about it as the heart. And we talk about it in a couple different places. It's our heart and our mind, right? It's the things that we think and all of that and imagine, and then it's our heart is where we feel things and all that. Now, that's something that needs to be made new, but what's the point? Why did it need to be made new? I mean, I think a lot of the things that we do or we think or whatever seem to be good. Well, at least they seem to be good with us. Our first week, we talked about needing a new heart. And you may or may not remember my story about moving our bedroom downstairs and what was the thing that made sense to me, that was a good plan in my own eyes, that made some decisions. The bed wouldn't fit downstairs, so what did I do? I cut a hole in the floor. Yeah, right? And anybody that works construction is like, that is the dumbest thing you could have ever done, right? But it seemed good to me, and I acted upon it. That's a silly example of the serious problem that goes on inside of us. Whatever it is that we think or our emotions or our desires, let's be honest, not all of our thoughts are great thoughts, right? Our thoughts can be, well, they can be tricked, can't they? They can be deceived. And things that we feel, our emotions, aren't always trustworthy, right? We may feel something, but it may not actually be truthful, right? And that may not be the true thing going on. And desires, well, I don't know about you, but my desires certainly have led me astray a time or two, right? They're not always leading us in the right path. Ultimately, all of those things lead up to us making a choice. And if we're off in any of those areas, how's our choice going to be? How's our decisions? What are our plans going to look like? Well, they're going to look like cutting a hole in the floor to move your bedroom downstairs, right? They're going to fall apart. And so there's that piece of us, this heart the Bible talks about, that needs to be made new. It needs to be made into a heart that is ready to receive what maybe God has to say or what others have to say, that we could listen to it, that we would even be able to turn from the way that we are going, which brings us to the other thing that we're talking about. If you have this new heart or desire to have this new heart, God offers a new heart for us to have. But now, will we walk in that way, right? Will we walk with God along that path so that our heart stays on the right course? The heart goes with God, right? And that we walk that way. And that's a significant piece. You know, we can walk in our own way, in our own direction, and things can be pretty good for our lives, but we'll never get to this place that God intended us to be. And that's really the ultimate question of why. Why do we want to have a new heart? Why would we want to walk with God? Right? Because it creates this something in us. We now become the full human that God intended us to be, the fullness of who God intended us to be. It's something we can't ever achieve just on our own, so we need to walk with God. In fact, that's actually God's ideal with this whole thing, is creating not just you and just me into a human being that he intended us to be, that's partnered with him, but all of us together get to be of that. And it creates a new community. That's where we're going with this today, right? If we have a new heart, right? If we all have new hearts and we're continually seeking what God thinks and what God feels and what God desires and what God chooses, we're walking with God, and we're all doing that, we become a new community. In fact, it's the community God intended us to be a part of from the very beginning. We all get to be this fullness of humans that God intended us to be, and we work together with God and with others, and we create this new community. Now, let me give you a little reference to this so that we can make sense of this. This is God's ideal for you and for me and for all human beings, and it starts off in his creation plan. As God is creating all things in life and the world, and they're growing and they're multiplying and all of that, God stops and looks at things and has a thought about something and has a desire to do something, and then puts forth the plan to do that. And we can see God's heart in this and how God's going to plan something. And it's God's ideal. And it comes right at the beginning of creation and has to do with you and has to do with me, how we get to be a part of this new community as well as being fully human. You want to see what that looks like? Okay, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says this, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image, in the image to be like us. They will reign over all of God's creation." Okay, "They will reign over the fish in the sea." God created the sea and then filled it with fish. The birds in the sky, God created the sky and then filled it with birds. The livestock and all the wild animals on the earth and all the small animals that scurry along the ground. God created the land and then filled the land, right? So God created human beings in his own image. This is God enacting the plan. The idea was there. The desire is there for human beings to be like God. And now I'm going to put it into place. Right? So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Do you see the community piece to it, right? Then God blessed them. Now listen to the blessing. What does it look like to be blessed? Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply." Continue to create this community. Don't let it just stop here with you. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and will govern it, which is like ruling or reigning over all the things that God has created and filled. The fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Right? Now, when we look at this, you might be thinking about yourself in this whole thing, right? Oh, I'm created in God's image. I'm there, and God, I'm to be like God. And how can you be like God? Well, it's partnering with God, isn't it? Having an alignment with God and what God is all about. Remember, it started with, "Let us do this." Now, I don't have time to go into the "let us" of who God is talking about here, right? But it's a community thing, isn't it? God is talking to someone just other than himself to do something. Let's all partner together to do this thing. And to create these human beings, to create you and to create me, to be like him. Not just do our own thing on our own and our own decisions and our own hearts and our own desires and our own choices, but to be partnered with God, to represent God everywhere we go. And as we're going, what are we doing? We're being fruitful. Now, I'll be honest that sometimes my thoughts are not very fruitful. Sometimes my emotions or my desires and certainly choices are not about fruitfulness and multiplying anything. They're very inward and just focused on me. And that's ultimately the problem with this. God's ideal is about partnering together with him as well as other people. Notice it was male and female together that are the fullness of the image of God. Not just me by myself, or just me partnering with God, but us together partnering with God and collaborating or ruling with one another. That's God's ideal. Now, the problem is that their hearts get in the way, right? Humans' hearts start getting tricked or deceived or led down a different path, and it looks really good to them. In fact, some of the things seem really good. They're building cities and all things like that, and what, you know, the cities become really dangerous because someone's good might be someone else's bad, and someone's bad might be seems like someone else's good, and they all have different ideas about this. It leads to a very chaotic time because maybe the things in my heart are different than the things in your heart, and the things in your heart are getting in the way of the things I want to accomplish in my heart. Do you see how it can be really hard to manage, and people start not ruling over the fish and the birds and the animals, they start trying to rule over each other. Now, I don't remember a time in all of human history where one person ruling over another person or one group of people ruling over another group of people has ever worked out in a positive way. They're never intended to rule over each other. They're intended to be partnered with God and collaborate with one another. So the whole idea of this is that we could do this together. Now, there's a series of people that come after the Bible, and they keep failing at this. Sometimes they do pretty good. Sometimes they do things that seem good to them, and it works out okay for them, but it doesn't work out okay for other people. And that's probably like your life and my life. Sometimes I get so focused on me that I would just want what I want, and I don't really care the cost that it is for you or for someone else. Like, let's just be honest, we have some things like that, or maybe you've experienced people like that in your neighborhood or your workplace. Right? They just want what they want, and they don't think about how it actually affects you, your job, or your home. Right? And that's the same thing that keeps happening throughout the Bible, and even not just individuals, but groups of people. Even this group of people that will come to be known as the Israelites, as a group of people, they're invited to be a part of this, and yet they fail at it again. And so the whole Bible is leading up to someone who will finally partner with God, perfectly partner with God, and invite other people to be a part of this new community as God is creating it through them. That's where this person Jesus comes in. It is more than just Jesus as a person. It's this God saying, I'm going to do this for you. It's God coming and being human with us so that he can create this community, something we just can't seem to do for ourselves. So Jesus invites people into this new community, and he does it in a very upside-down, strange way. Remember, we were talking about blessing, and what does it look like to be blessed, of being fruitful and multiplying? And other teachers, other rabbis in the Bible, they would give blessings to people. Here's what it looks like to be a person that is blessed. They may or may not put like hashtag blessed next to that, okay? They would say, here's something that shows that somebody's blessed. If you are wealthy, if you're rich, obviously you must be blessed by God because look at all the abundance that you have, okay? If you are in good health, if you have good health, then you must be blessed by God because God has given you a healthy body. If you have multiple children, if you have lots of children, that must be blessed because you are being fruitful and multiplying. And the interesting thing here is that Jesus will do something similar, but he does it upside down. He invites people to see what this new community is really all about. And it's actually focused on other people. And yet what we do is we make it about ourselves. And here's the upside down thing. I'm going to read a few of these. And I'm just going to read through them. And I just want you to listen to them. Did they sound like something that would be a blessing? Right? If you've experienced any of these things, did you in that moment feel like, yeah, I feel blessed at this time? Okay? Here's what it looks like in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. being poor. Does that sound like a place where you feel blessed? Poor. I'm poor. Hashtag blessed. Anybody put that up on Instagram? I've never seen it. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I've experienced loss. Someone really close to me, and I'm mourning that loss. Man, I'm blessed. Seems upside down, doesn't it? God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. Some of those don't sound very blessed, do they? I mean, when you really stop and we really think about it, the people that are hungry and thirsting for justice means that they're experiencing a world where there's no justice. It's lacking. There's like starving to death because of lack of justice, right? The people that have been humbled or have humbled themselves, they're surrounded by people that are arrogant and proud and could even take it out on them. Like it's an upside down thing, isn't it? Did you catch the last one that I read? Now, there's more, but I just ended there on purpose because it was all about the people are blessed with a pure what? Did you catch it? Heart. Yeah, good. You're paying attention. I love it. Thank you. A pure heart. Their heart is aligned with God. It's been made new by God. And they're blessed. And what happens when they have this pure heart? They see, yeah, because that's who they're striving after. I want my heart to be seeking what God thinks. I want to be feeling what God feels. I want to desire what God wants. And ultimately, I want to make choices that God would choose. Now, the other thing that I think happens when we read through that list, we start seeing ourselves in there, don't we? Yeah, I feel I'm poor right now, right? I see myself there. Or I've lost and I'm in mourning. Or you know what? I don't see justice happening in this world. Or it certainly isn't happening for me. Or you know what? I don't think anybody's been merciful to me. Right? We start seeing ourselves, but that's not bad. I'm not saying it's bad, but we've lost the community piece when you're just focused on yourself. Because that pure heart that's seeking after what God thinks, that's seeking and desiring what God desires and feeling what God feels and choosing what God chooses, they start seeing God outside of themselves and with other people. Who are those around you who are poor? That's the question that we start asking in this new community. And then how can we care for them? What can we learn from them? I think a great thing to learn from them is like, look at how dependent they are on God. They are dependent on God providing for them. And guess who God uses to provide for the poor? The rich, right? The others, other people. But what about for those who are mourning? Is there somebody next to you that is going through a time of mourning and of loss? And how do you know? If you're only thinking about yourself, and not about the community and the person next to you, you'll never notice about what if they're in mourning. Because God notices, God cares. Are you seeing God in that, in the community? Is your heart pure? Is it one that's been softened? And is it a new heart that you're actively seeking God's heart so that you can be a part of this bigger community? What about justice? I think justice gets a bad rap. You know what? I really think it does. I think some of us have just turned our ears off of it because we see the horrible way that it gets put out there. But justice is justice. Like God wants justice happening in our world. You may have felt and experienced something unjust for you. It might be something small, it might be something major. And yet, can we see that for other people who might be different than us that we need to speak up for? How about the poor? Because they get mistreated. That's a good one place to start. Are we hungry? Are we thirsty for God's justice to make things right between people? Because we're part of this new community, right? It gets really messy when we start living in a community with other people, doesn't it? And that's exactly the thing that the early church experienced. The same thing after Jesus had died, risen, and shown up to a whole bunch of people and then went up into heaven, and their church is left trying to figure this out. That's exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to figure out how do they live in relationship to one another. How can the poor and the rich be at the same table? How can the master and the slave be eating a meal together? What does that look like? In their own hierarchy, in their community of places, how do they all care for one another well? Well, they've nailed it sometimes. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 tells us that. Right? The believers, all that are trusting and believing that Jesus is this one that is giving us not only this new heart, but this new way to live, and it's perfectly partnered with God, that we can be fully human in this new community. Those people, right? What are they doing? Right? All believers just decided to do things every way that they wanted to. All the believers, when they didn't agree with one another, just went and started their own church. All believers devoted themselves to someone else's teaching, to these apostles' teaching. They're learning from them. How is it that we can live this life together? All the believers devoted themselves to apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Who are the poor among us? How can we care for them? Who is in mourning that we could mourn with them? Who are the people that need justice? And how can we advocate for them well, the way God wants justice to be done? How are our hearts? Are they pure hearts? Are we seeing God in our midst? Right? That's the fellowship. And of course, the sharing of meals, making sure everybody eats well. That's the table thing. That's the thing that we don't really understand because we're like, oh, I don't know, they're just sharing a meal together. No, it's people from different places in life that they would never be eating at the same table together. Okay? The CEO of your company and the janitor, right? They're sitting at the same table, equal terms. In fact, they're serving one another. The richest person in the world going and serving the poorest person and caring for each other as if they were family. People from completely different life backgrounds coming together and sitting at this table together. It's incompatible. It's incompatible. And that's what's happening. They're doing that, including remembering what Jesus has done for them through communion. His sacrifice, that he gave up his life to usher in this new community that we get to be a part of. And they prayed for one another. They cared for one another. When I can't help you any more than with the resources I have, I'm going to pray with you. In fact, we're going to start there and see how we can actually line our hearts up right. They're working it out. Here, the other thing that you're going to notice as you continue to read in the Bible is like sometimes they don't do it well. Right? They still have some issues. They still have some ways that they need to work it out. In fact, a lot of the New Testament letters, that's what they're about. They're letters written to different churches or different people to try to help them to understand how they're to live in this new community. They get to be a part of this new thing where everyone gets cared for. That we're not just thinking about ourselves, but we're thinking about the person next to us and treating them as if we would treat them as our own family, this new community that they get to be a part of. That's why we want a new heart and a new walk, because we get to be a part of this new community. And we're not going to always get it right, are we? we're going to mess up. Sometimes, even here at Real Life Church, sometimes I think we do a really good job. Other times, we miss it. We're trying to figure this out together. And that's our opportunity here now. We're going to go in the next few weeks. We're going to take one of these letters that's written to, it's called Ephesians, but that's really an area of churches. There's several churches in this area. In fact, the earliest letter doesn't even have the name Ephesus in there. It just left it blank because it was supposed to circle around to these different churches. And so we're going to take some time to read through that together as a community of people, and then we're going to have other people up here sharing. In fact, people right from these seats coming up to share different messages, different things that they're seeing from this letter to help teach us, to help teach one another. And you get to participate in this by reading Ephesians, going through Ephesians and reading it and meditating on it and thinking about it. In fact, if you have the Bible app, our church app, I put in the notes little questions. If you don't have that or don't want that, I also made up a little sheet of paper with the questions on it that's back at the table by the offering. And that's our gift to you. Take that with you. But as you're reading Ephesians, it's six little chapters long. You can sit down and do it in one sitting, which is totally good. I recommend that. And then each week, we're going to take one chapter and we're going to teach from it. And it'll be somebody different than just me, which, praise the Lord, right? We can learn from one another. And so I encourage you to do that. Go through the questions. There's even in the church app, there's little links if you need some help with things like, oh, what is this letter really about? Oh, there's a link there you can click on and learn a little bit more about. But we're going to do this together, and we're going to learn from one another and how we can be a better community, how we can care for each other so much more. I think we've spent way too much time away from one another, too much time separated, letting everything separate us. Every little thing has separated us. I want us to come back together, and it's going to be messy, and we won't do everything right, but let's start here. Let's start by seeing what this new community is all about, and Ephesians really sets out a really good course for what it looks like to live in this community with one another. So I encourage you to take some time to do that. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for the way that you work in our lives, for creating this new community of people, for drawing these people here today. I mean, this is an important day. They could have chosen not to be here, and yet they are here. God, I ask that you would help us to enter into your new community by us having a new heart and continually seeking your heart. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.